Velkommen til en ny utgave av Togpollen. I dag skal vi sette fokus på grenseoverganger, og ikke bare I Norge, men I hele Europa. Fordi vi hadde nylig besøk av toginfluencer John Wirth, som for tiden reiser rundt I Europa for å se med egne øyne hvordan tog fungerer over landegrensene.
Some of the other places I'm going in Europe, the infrastructure is good and the trains are bad. Here, the limit really is the infrastructure, and without improving the quality of those lines, there's not much room for improvement. Maybe you could get a few more trains a day.
Wirth kom til Oslo fredag 17. juni og ble møtt av en toginteressert gjeng på Oslo S. Der hørte vi også litt om hva den norske regjeringen tenker når det gjelder grensetog.
Kjørte I gang I samråd med svenske infrastrukturdepartementet og trafikkverket I Sverige. En mulig studie knyttet til Oslo-Stockholm 255.
I denne podcasten får du høre litt mer om hva som skjedde på dette togtreffet på Oslo S, og et lengre intervju med John Wirth. Mitt navn Kyrre Dahl, dette togpodden.
Right. Thank you very much indeed, and thank you Christian and Finn for organizing. I'm very happy to be here in Oslo, not least because there was a certain point about 10 days ago where it was looking rather questionable whether I would even get here at all. The important point raised about needing better cross-border railway connections to Oslo is one I therefore understand very well. Because, did it go off? It seems the battery has died.
Keep talking.
Okay, so the important point is you guys here, for any of your cross-border railway connections, you're heavily reliant on Sweden. And Sweden, unfortunately, is the country of all of the countries I'm visiting on my train trip where the most things have gone wrong. So I'm traveling, as Christian said in the introduction, to every EU country which has a cross-border railway to another EU country. So de facto, that means 24 of the 27 EU countries. And then also adding Norway, Switzerland, Monaco, and Liechtenstein. So I'm crossing every border pair, if you like, between all of those countries. Now, why does this matter? As was just mentioned, when you cross...
Going now? Ah, yeah.
When you cross a border by train, everything gets more complicated. Everything gets harder, everything gets more expensive. It basically means that if international railway journeys in Europe worked as well as they do within one individual country, then we would be making progress. So let me just give a breakdown of the types of things I'm trying to highlight. I basically want to make a political project that says to the European Union institutions, if we are facing a climate crisis, we need to make sure that more people take long journeys, and indeed international journeys, by train. And there are certain things that need to happen in order to facilitate that, in order to allow that to happen. So what I'm then doing in this journey is crossing at least one border every day, in as far as that is possible. There are more than 80 border crossings in total in the project. Within 40 days and 27,500 kilometers and more than 150 trains. Where there are no trains anymore, I have a folding bicycle I'm taking with me, and that means in some places I'm cycling across the border if the trains don't run anymore. And out of all of that, I then should have a picture of what does and does not work in European railways.
Vi skal høre mer fra John Wirth, men på togtreffet på Oslo S så var det også en representant for myndighetene til stede. Det var statssekretær I Samferdselsdepartementet, Johan Vasara, og her forklarer han litt mer om hva myndighetene nå tenker om tog til utlandet.
Jeg invitert hit for å snakke litt om regjeringens posisjoner knyttet til grenseoverskridende jernbane, togreiser. Og det jo noe som vi med all sannsynlighet må ha mer av I fremtiden. Klimapolitikken kjenner vi alle til. Vi kjenner til FN sine varsler knyttet til det. Og en stor del av CO2-utslippene må tas innenfor transport. Nå har regjeringen styrt tiltrådt for en 7-8 måneder siden, så det ligger I sakens natur at det litt begrenset hva man har rukket å sette I gang. Men det satt I gang noen spennende initiativer. Noen av dere regner med kjenner godt til de prosjektene som satt I gang. Vi har blant annet kört igång i samråd med svenska infrastrukturdepartementet och Trafikverket i Sverige en mulighetsstudie knutad till Oslo-Stockholm 255. Det betyder att du ska kunna resa från Oslo till Stockholm och retur självklart på under 3 timmar. Det är en ambition. Och målet där är ju att göra tåget konkurrensdyktigt som liknande fly. Och de projektfolkarna där estimerar att det är snack om att flytta runt 1 miljon resande från luft till bana. Och det vill ju vara ett väldigt stort bidrag till nettopp den omställningen vi måste göra innanför transport till grönare lösningar. Det är på ett mulighetsstudiestadie foreløpig, och det är nog en del vann som må renne i havet för vi begynner att konkretisera något där. Men det är i vart fall ett väldigt spännande initiativ som nu rullar och går för full maskin. Och det positiva där är att också svenska myndigheter helt till överste nivå är väldigt enig med oss i att det är något vi ska se på. Det andra som också är en pågående mulighetsstudie är knutad till Köpenhamn. Härifrån Oslo S så har det inte gått ett endaste nattåg till Oslo S, nej, till Köpenhamn på gott och väl 20 år. Det ser vi på nu och gör något med. Och där pågår det då också en mulighetsstudie utåt till att etablera ett nattågstillbud till Köpenhamn. Där ser vi både på marknadsgrundlaget, vi ser på materielltillgången, andra typer tåg, andra typer faciliteter. Och det är också något då som säkert måste utredas på en skicklig måte. Vi ser väldigt fram till en konkludering från regeringens sida där när vi kommer så långt.
Det var inte bara allvarlig tågpolitik som blev snackat om på tågträffet. Sigrid Elsrud, som nyligen har kommit med en bok Ferie med tåg, reiseglede langs skinnene, hade en liten anekdote om det att resa med tåg.
When I started writing about train travel, that is about 7 years ago, I was not young. But indeed, I was very, very naive. My experience until then had been flying to one country, taking one or two nice trips by train, and then a new flight back home. And based on this, I started a blog, Togbloggen, a blog about the joy of traveling by train. And then I started to travel by train, also across borders. And maybe still a bit naive, but more and more confused, I tried to buy my tickets. And somehow I always made it, but it was hard work. And then one day, and I do remember that day, because one day I sat down to write my first blog post about how to buy tickets to European trains. And that was a game changer. Google started sending people to my blog. But I can tell you, I got my first gray hair writing that blog post. And have a look now. And guess what I have been doing since then.
John Wirth reiser alltså runt i Europa för att promotera bättre tågförbindelser mellan landene i Europa. Han var inom Oslo förra fredag och där fick vi en prat med han där han fortalte mer om projektet.
Okay, so it's yes, the project's called Cross Border Rail. In this project, in 40 days of train rides, I'm going to cross every internal border of the European Union and Switzerland and Norway that you can cross by train all in one trip. That means in total about 80, more than 80 border crossings and 27,000 kilometers and 150 trains in the project. Now, as any listeners probably know, if you travel internationally, some borders in Europe, you can't even really cross them in some places by train. And so that's why I have a bicycle with me as well. So where there used to be a train line, but it doesn't exist any longer, or you can't take it for some reason, I'm cycling across the border instead. Now, why would you attempt a project like this? The basic problem is the moment you cross a border in a train, everything gets more complicated. The timetables are harder, getting a ticket gets very difficult, Even finding out what trains run across border in some places is a hard task. So what I want to do is highlight all of these difficulties and all of the problems, and also show that actually in some places this really does work. The borders in and out of Austria, for example, are by now very good and are an example that many others could follow. So I want to particularly, and sorry, we're in Norway here, not in the European Union, my project is highly directed towards the European Union institutions. I want a better railway policy from the European Commission. The EU has put lots of money into new lines in many places, but often doesn't make sure that trains even run on those lines. So I want to highlight all of those problems, but some of those opportunities. And what better way to do it than actually traveling to all of those places, see it with my own eyes, tell the stories from those borders.
You've been traveling for 4 days by now. Have you come across any problems?
So everything broke down going through Germany because German Railways has quite a lot of reliability headaches at the moment. Lots of engineering works. I had immense problems getting here to Norway as well, but no problem on the Norwegian side. All of the problems have been on the Swedish side. Now, the crucial central point is to be able to plan any trip of any complexity by rail is you need to make sure that you have reliable information. And the difficulty is Swedish railways are very, very bad at providing reliable information. So just the trip Stockholm to Oslo had to be changed 4 times and at short notice. So first there was a train, then the timetable changed due to a diversion. Then it was cancelled, and so I had to book a completely different route going via Gothenburg. And then eventually they then put back half a train that would go as far as, I think, Mariehamn, I think is the near Karlstad.
Kristinehamn,
sorry, apologies. And then a bus. So just even trying to work out how to do it for that trip has become very difficult. So I completely understand engineering works have to happen, but they have to be communicated much, much better than is the case in Sweden. In Norway, tomorrow, for example, there is a rail replacement bus between Trondheim and Storlien. Perfect communication. Entur, it makes it perfectly clear, this is what will happen, this is where you have to go. I can live with that. Swedish side, much, much harder.
Som du skjønner, så ikke John Worth veldig imponert over tog I Sverige, men det litt bedre I Norge. Men det uansett ikke bra, og han forklarer her litt hva som bør skje for at vi skal få bedre togforbindelser til utlandet.
Right, so there, let's forget Narvik for a minute because it essentially connects mostly to Sweden. Basically got 3 cross-border connections. One where works are underway to improve it, that being Trondheim, Storlien, Östersund. Finally electrifying that line. It's been electrified on the Swedish side since the 1940s. It's only now 70 years or 80 years later that it's finally making progress on the Swedish side. That's always going to be probably a secondary connection because the size of the cities on both sides there is comparatively small. So I'm looking forward to seeing the works that are ongoing there when I'm traveling there tomorrow. The ones that give me real headaches here are the crossing Kongsvinger to Charlottenberg for if you were going to Stockholm, and Halden towards Trollhättan if you're going to Gothenburg and onto Copenhagen. Both of those lines are slow, single track, urgently need capacity improvements. And I think as well, at least for the route to Copenhagen, also could do with having a night train on that route. Now that might be a way and a means of comparatively easily improving the service while actually doing it on the existing infrastructure. But to me, both of those cross-border lines, right, have the difficulty that the infrastructure is not in a good state. Now, what could you do? With some improvements, you could make Stockholm to Oslo 5 hours maybe at a push. And you maybe might make Copenhagen something equivalent in the short term. But to me, it has to be an urgent priority for the Norwegian government is focus there on the infrastructure. Some of the other places I'm going in Europe, the infrastructure is good and the trains are bad. Here, the limit really is the infrastructure. And without improving the quality of those lines, there's not much room for improvement. Maybe you could get a few more trains a day. But much more than that, there's not much more in it just now.
John Worth en politisk engasjert kar I togpolitikk, men vi spurte litt om hva bakgrunnen for denne toginteressen.
I'm not really a railway person, right? I'm an EU politics and communication person by background. That's why this is essentially a political project. But I'm politically green. I want to travel in an environmentally friendly way. And I work Europe-wide. I live in Berlin and I have work contracts in Switzerland, Italy, Denmark, Netherlands, Belgium. And so you put those things together. You travel by train and things go wrong. And then you say, hey, hang on, why is the things going wrong? What can I do about that? And out of that comes this project. I have, of course, through some of this, I've taken some pretty long and some quite strange railway journeys in my days. And I admit I flew to Ulaanbaatar and came back to Europe by train across the Trans-Siberian Railway, and I've travelled across Central Asia on some pretty unusual connections in Uzbekistan, and I've been to some strange and unusual lines in the Balkans as well. But I've never been employed by a railway company, and I'm not involved in kind of operating railways or something on an everyday basis. I think there's something, however, more than just the need. And I think that was very clear today. So I took an X2000 from Stockholm to Göteborg, and then a bus from Göteborg to Oslo. The X2000, it was one of the new renovated ones. Impeccable quality in the train, lots of space, good coffee, good air. Like the onboard experience, it was really comfortable, and to work there, and indeed I was preparing presentations and so on, impeccable. I get on the bus, it might be reliable, but the whole experience is you're crammed in, you have little space, you can't really work with your laptop. And so that kind of thing, the experience of traveling by train in many parts of Europe is generally quite good. And so to say, actually, this is, even if it takes a bit longer, because it's a good experience, rail can really win on that point. And I think actually that's really a strong point of Swedish Railways with the X2000, is actually it's a really nice train to take. I might have had nightmares planning the trip, but when everyone was actually on the train, it was really good.
What do you think is the worst connection, cross-border connection in Europe?
So at the moment, Greece does not have a single international train. I'm having to take a bus to Thessaloniki from Sofia and a bicycle out at Svilengrad to get there. Now, the reasons for that are partly due to the financial crisis and the kind of cutting to Greece's railways. There are actually three cross-border lines, two to Bulgaria and one to North Macedonia. The ones that frustrate me more are the places where it really ought to be better, right? So the cross-borders between Portugal and Spain, for example. The EU has funded infrastructure between Vigo and Porto, but there are only two trains a day that use it. There are lots of trains only on the Portuguese side and lots of trains only on the Spanish side, but only two trains a day go through. Like, those types of situations, those make me mad, right? If your infrastructure is broken, I understand why there's no train. But if your infrastructure is solid, you ought to do better than that. So those are the ones that frustrate me most. But yeah, planning the trip, Greece has been the hardest to get to. Spain, for me, is the country that has the weirdest railway policy. It has very, very good infrastructure on many, many routes, but runs so few trains. And it has compulsory reservation regional trains. What is that, right? Like, a regional train, you should turn up and get on, not have to say, oh, actually, I need to make sure I get a seat. It's a very, very strange approach there. From the outside, anyway, it doesn't look to me to be a good one. Maybe when I'm there, I may reconsider, because my experience in Spain is not so much. Now, this is an important point with the project. I travel a lot by train, but to and from Germany, right? And I've been to Norway a good few times, but I've never taken a train in Estonia before, and I've only once taken one in Portugal. So I want to go there and see what these railways are like. Who are the people that are taking those trains? Do those trains serve the whole society? And that's a bit what the project should show.
We in Norway think that the trains must be much better in the rest of Europe. Is that your impression?
No, not necessarily. Trains in Norway are quite slow on many of the main lines due to the mountainous terrain and quite a lack of infrastructure. But the experience in the train, I think, in Norway is generally quite good. I'll see as well. I'm taking for the first time a night train in Norway to Trondheim tonight. We'll see how that is as well. But the mainline routes I've taken in Norway over the years, the experience in the train has generally been really good. The digital information which is provided about trains in Norway, likewise, extremely good. I see that there are investments in many new trains for suburban lines around Oslo. Look good, at least. I don't have experience of how reliable they are. So I get why Norwegians are frustrated, but it's not all bad here. The actual trains themselves, Norway does comparatively well.
Der hørte du altså John Worth, som for tiden reiser rundt I Europa for å sette fokus på tog som går over grensene. Vi ønsker han lykke til videre på ferden. Mitt navn Kyrre Dahl. Togpodden tar en liten sommerferie, men vi høres til høsten. God sommer!